My name is John Cerrone, and I grew up right down the pike in Stamford, Connecticut. And in my little town, and in 1975, Stamford was still really growing up, so it was sort of a little town. We had this unwritten law that we called the code. And the code was basically that guys looked out for other guys. You know, if your buddy said to you, hey, I need you to cover my ass, you did, with no questions asked. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, he knows. I remember there was this one guy that we called Stupid Stevie. Now, while the nickname was somewhat unkind, it actually wasn't unfounded, because basically, well, Stevie was as dumb as a fucking bag of rocks. I remember on one occasion he found himself on the witness stand in criminal court because his best friend, Big Julio, had been busted for armed robbery. And during cross-examination, Stevie suddenly blurted out, hey, there's no way, Jules is innocent. There's no way he walked into no bank waving no gun at nobody. And the prosecutor said, well, Mr. Genetazio, that's fascinating, but how can you be so sure about what you're saying? He said, it's simple. Julio told me all he did was drive the getaway car. Now look, while he doesn't exactly get high marks for intelligence, he did get major style points for respecting the code. When my best friend Dave and I graduated from college, we wanted to make it in rock and roll. And that meant we had long hair, we played in bands, and we discovered fairly early on that we didn't really make enough money playing clubs and small concerts to make a go of it. So we had to find, well, alternative forms of employment. Well, I had been a communications major, so I didn't know what the hell to do with that. And I actually ended up getting a part-time job at a place in Weston called the Embalmer's Supply Company. But that will be another story. Dave, however, was a business major. And Dave was this very enterprising guy, and he formed this cottage business called United Expediting, which was a fancy word for same-day messenger service. He had all these clients in Stamford, and he would do rush deliveries all around the tri-state area for them. So one night in the middle of the week, 10 o'clock, I get a phone call from him, and it's, John, I'm dying from the flu. Do you think you can make a big delivery for me tomorrow? Well, he knew I had a truck because I played in a band. I needed it for equipment. And I couldn't say no. Well, first of all, because of the code. And secondly, it paid 100 bucks cash. And in 1975, 100 bucks was a hell of a lot of money. I mean, my rent for a month was 75. So of course I said yes. So the next morning, I'm driving bright and early down to South Stamford to a place called Alderson Research. And I have to tell you, the research part had me a little bit spooked. You know, I had visions of transporting toxic waste and or deadly microbes. And I was, you know, very gratified when I pulled up to this building to see that it was a very vanilla-looking factory building, not the secret underground genetic mutations lab that I suspected that it was, you know, where they transform household spiders into woolly mammoths. And I pulled into the loading dock of this very vanilla factory building, and a very vanilla dispatcher named Andy comes up to greet me. He says, John, it's very simple. We're going to take about 20 or 30 minutes. We're going to load your car up with the products. And then, you know, we'll give you your marching orders. So why don't you just go into the lunchroom, have yourself a cup of coffee, and relax. Fine. So I march myself with my long, scraggly hair and my wraparound shades into the lunchroom. I plop myself down. I put my feet up on the table. And about 2 minutes later, the door that goes from the lunchroom to the factory opens up, and this guy walks in. And he stands there, and he stares at me for a second. And then he turns around and yells back in the factory, Yo, Guido! Check it out! Bob Dylan just showed up on his way to fucking Hollywood. Right. Well, the word got out around the factory floor in about 2 minutes. And one after another of these assembly line yutzes came in to pay me lip service. And I got comments ranging from, hey, I thought the circus left 2 weeks ago, to, hey, do you mind giving me your autograph? My retarded brother's a big fan. So I took this grief. Four or five of these guys and I had it about up to here, when all of a sudden, magically, the door opens up and this vision floats in on a cloud with sparkling brown hair and shiny blue eyes and butterflies and hummingbirds twittering around her head like Snow White after half a pound of magic mushrooms. And she nods at me and gives me this big, beautiful smile, and I said, hold it right there, bitch. Say what you came in here to say, and then get the heck out of here, because I've had enough of this. Well, she kind of gives me this quizzical look, and And she looks at me and she goes, I said, oh, Jesus Christ, I just insulted a deaf woman. But you know, then I thought, well, maybe I'm lucky, because if she's deaf, she didn't really hear what I just said. And then I look up and Andy, the dispatcher, is standing there, and I said, oh, mercifully, he's here, thank God, and I get out of there. And as we're walking back to the loading dock, Andy says, you know, John, what the hell did you say to Annie that got her so riled up? I said, play dumb. I said, I don't know. And how do you know what she said? He said, well, you know, we've hired several deaf people over the years here, and I learned how to read sign language. I said, oh really? What did she say? He said, I'm not sure, but it was something like, I can read lips, you fucking moron. Well, I felt, you know, like this. So we get back to the loading dock, and he says, okay, John, today you're going to go to Ortho Pharmaceutical in Raritan, New Jersey, and you're going to be transporting 1,000 Betsy's. Well, what the hell are Betsy's? I don't know. So he says, here, you take the delivery slip, you give it to the guy when you get there, and here are your directions to Raritan, New Jersey. So I hop in the truck, I start the engine, and, you know, something in the back of my head said, you better take a look at what you're transporting here. And I, you know, just assumed I was going to see corrugated boxes. And I turn around and I look, and oh my God. They're going halfway up to the top of the truck, stacked neatly on top of each other, like ice cream cones, are 1,000 pairs of the most beautiful tits I have ever seen in my life. Shut the engine off. I go running back to the guy. I said, what the heck did you put in my truck? He said, John, didn't Dave tell you? Alderson Research makes parts for anatomical dummies. We sell parts to, you know, medical schools and to pharmaceutical companies. He said, so yeah, you're delivering 1,000 Betsy's. Betsy's, breasts, you get it? You know, we like to give nicknames to our products to make them friendlier. I said 1,000 spleens is friendlier. I said, there's no way I'm going to drive out with those things. I'm going to get busted. He said, John, in 20 years, that's never happened to anybody. What could they possibly arrest you for? I said, I don't know, they look kind of young. How about transporting underage tits across state lines? And he said, yeah, very funny, funny. He says, look, kid, if you don't want to make the delivery, we're going to have to unload the truck, we're going to have to get somebody else to do it, and your friend is going to lose a big account. Well, there you go. He had to invoke the code, right? So I had no choice. I had to stick up for Dave, and I said, okay, I'll do it, but you got to do one thing for me. Is there a way I can get to Central Jersey with the least possibility of anybody seeing what I have in this truck? Like, is there a high-speed ferry that goes from Stamford to Central Jersey? He said, no. There's really only two ways to get to Raritan, New Jersey. Either you take the Jersey Turnpike, or you take the Garden State Parkway, and that's about 20 or 30 minutes faster. I said, I'll take the Parkway. He said, well, that might be a problem because you're driving a truck. I said, well, you know, I think I got that beat. I've got combination plates, which in Connecticut is like semi-commercial, and I can go on the Merritt Parkway. He said, well, if you can go on the Merritt Parkway, you can definitely go on the Garden State Parkway, so go ahead. I said, how long is it going to take to get there? He said, about an hour and 15 minutes, so I made it in 40. And I'm pulling up to the toll booth, and the guy looks out at the truck, and he says, there's no way you're taking that truck on this parkway. And I said, but I got to get a rush delivery to New Jersey. He said, there's no way you're taking that truck on this parkway. I said, I got combination plates. I can go on the Merritt Parkway in Connecticut. He says, yo, pal, in New Jersey, in order not to be a commercial vehicle, you have to have windows all the way around. You don't have windows all the way around. There's no way you're taking that truck on this parkway. Now I start to argue with him, and the argument gets more heated and more excited, and I see him lean down and push a button. And all of a sudden, about 2 minutes later, the sun blocks out. And I turn around and look, and there is the state trooper from Cool Hand Luke. I mean, right down to the mirrored aviator sunglasses, the buzz cut hairdo, 6'40", you know. And he walks over to the toll booth guy. He says, hey, Sam, what's the problem here? And Sam says, ah, this goddamn hippie, he wants to take the truck on a parkway. I tell him he can't. He's giving me all this gas. State trooper leans in and he says, exactly where are you going with this vehicle, son? And then I made the stupidest mistake I made all day. I said, I'm going to Ortho Pharmaceuticals. He said, pharmaceuticals. Pull the truck over. So now I pull the truck over to the side, and he comes and he leans in and he says, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to stay in the seat. You're going to keep your hands on the wheel. You're not going to get up. You're not going to get out of the truck. I'm going to examine the contents of this vehicle. I said, oh, Jesus Christ. Now I'm watching him in the side view mirror, and he's walking around, and he comes to the back, and then I pick him up in the rear view mirror because I could see over the tits. He opens up the back door, and for a minute he stands there just like this. Nothing, no expression, no flinch, no nothing. He comes back around the side of the truck, he leans in and he says, "Get the fuck out of here." I race back to the Jersey Turnpike. I drive and drop the tits off an Ortho Pharmaceutical. I go back to my apartment, pour the biggest drink I've ever had, and I call Dave up that night, and I said, "Dave, what the hell did you do to me?" He said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I had to deliver 1,000 tits to New Jersey." He said, "Oh, Betsy's, yeah, I've had to do those before." I said, "How could you do that to me?" He said, "John, it could have been a lot worse." I said, "What do you mean it could have been a lot worse?" He said, "They could have had to deliver 1,000 Virginies." Thank you very much.